All right, bang, bang. It is time for another episode of Chicago Dog Walk. I'm sitting across from Conspiracy Theory Chief. We missed you last week. I missed you. Everybody missed you.
Yeah, no Tinfoil Tuesday last week.
No Tinfoil Tuesday. Yeah,
we had back into it heavy today.
Yeah, we had a little bit of BJ and a bunch of other random stuff going on. So, yeah, we're coming at you even stronger because I think this is going to be a little bit of a two-parter.
Okay.
Because I think this guy kind of deserves it. This conspiracy theory deserves it.
The most talked about, the most famous, the biggest assassination murder conspiracy theory of all time, John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
So let's start there because the fact that this even happened is insane.
You killed the president, the most powerful man in the world, in plain sight in the light of day.
It's insane.
It's insane.
Like, I cannot imagine. Like, they should. So the footage that we watched, the documentary we watched that we're going to be breaking down primarily today, because we could do JFK for 8 episodes.
Yeah.
You know, we
people
keep
have been
going.
Doing it for 60 years.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. We could keep going and going, and we probably will, because it seems like you guys like these.
Yeah.
So we'll start with that. We watched the one on Discovery. It's called JFK Smoking, The Smoking Gun.
The Smoking Gun. So it was originally released as a Netflix documentary, and then I think the rights got sold, and now you can just go ahead and watch it on YouTube for free. The whole thing, it's a 90-minute documentary, is on YouTube. You just have to find the link. So just put it in, JFK, The Smoking Gun.
We'll start with, like, the setting.
Mm-hmm.
The warehouse. Yeah. I didn't know, like, I was always, bear with me now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I know who Lee Harvey Oswald was. I knew who Jack Ruby was. Mm-hmm. I was always under the like conviction of the sixth floor that he was on was like a hotel room.
No, it was a book depository. So it was just like a warehouse for like school books and textbooks. So yeah, it was just like he was just some big empty building and he worked there. So
okay,
yeah. So he like the people in the building were familiar with him. It wasn't like, oh yeah, we have this stranger like fleeing the scene. It was like, there goes Lee. He works on the sixth floor of the book depository.
And then that is where he, I mean, do we say allegedly? Do we say that is where this went down at or what? I don't even know how to
depending
talk around
on which
this.
Theory you believe. Yeah, that's where there were shots fired from the sixth floor. Like there's
that stone cold proof.
There are shellings there. You know, the gun bullet shells
shell
were there.
Casings.
Shell casings were there. They had like gunpowder residue was there. They found the gun there. I think it would be hard to plant all of that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that at least two shots were fired there. The common theory is that there were three shots fired by Lee Harvey Oswald in under 5.6 seconds.
And that is where the show starts. It starts with they have three guys in like a tower that matches like the 6 foot floor discrepancy.
Right.
And they have 6 seconds with like a moving target that goes the same speed as Kennedy's car.
Right.
And they shoot to see if it is possible.
Yeah, I think they kind of proved it. Like it is. So there, long story short, that was like always one of the sticking points for conspiracy theorists is that there's no way that this guy, Lee Harvey Oswald, he was in the military, but he was known as not being a great shot. You have an old rifle from World War II, bolt action, so you have to, you know, cock and load it every shot. And there's no way that anyone could even do that shooting. Like, you just can't even
Very
do it.
Very hard to do.
Very hard to do. So they got... CBS did a special in the 80s, and that's what they got the footage from, that showing people who they had this target moving at 11 miles an hour in the same gradient as the Kennedy car on the road, and say, hey, you expert marksmen, try to do it, okay? And they really struggled. It was like all the best shooters in the world came to do this experiment. One guy got it done, but he got it done on his third attempt. So it was, and it was not exactly the most scientific thing. Like, there's so many variables, but he got it done. So he was like, hey, like the best shot in the world was able to fire off three shots in under 5.6 seconds and hit the target.
Yeah. So that right off the bat, it's like, all right, this is fishy, but I suppose it's possible.
Suppose it's possible to do it. And then the next most suspicious thing about the actual shooting is that the Warren Commission, which was charged with investigating the Kennedy assassination immediately back in the 60s, they came up with a single bullet theory where they have a bullet like twisting and like making right turns in midair, stopping and then hitting another guy. And it's like, wait, you have one bullet make 6 different wounds and literally take, like, they have them taking like left turn. Like the bullet is like zigzagging in midair, which is just physically impossible.
Well, what's crazy is Governor Connolly, that guy, I mean, you want to talk about some bad luck.
Yeah.
Hit the bullet that hit him, it went through what, his neck?
Yeah, so it went through Kennedy's neck and then hit him in like the side and like broke his ribs.
Then went through his wrist.
Then hit his wrist and then ended up in his leg. And then he was in the hospital and they were like, oh yeah, just like fell out of his body. And it's not the bullet. Like it was in his leg and then somehow just fell out and was on like his gurney in the hospital. So like they found this bullet. They call it quote unquote that's the magic bullet theory.
I mean, you want to talk about that poor fucker. How do you get hit by the same bullet three times?
Three times, allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of his things. So Connolly said it. He's like, hey, that's not how it happened. He's like, I heard the first shot, which was supposed to be the magic bullet shot. And so that's when he said he turned, and then he got hit with shot number two. And that, you know, went through his ribs and whatever. So
they originally said that was the first bullet that hit him.
Right. So they said it was a shot, miss. So they say Oswald fired three shots. So it was shot, and that was the initial shot that hit JFK, miss, and then shot three was the famous headshot in the Zapruder film that killed Kennedy.
Yes.
So he's saying that he never, and then there's other reports that you have eyewitnesses saying like, it hit the road and there was a fragment. Like, no, the order of the shots has always been like very contentious.
And then I think they got to the point where they said the first shot, yes, was the one that didn't hit anybody.
Right.
And I think what I found from the documentary had the most like concrete like proof, I guess.
Right. And then, you know, they found that the other thing that I found interesting is that they always said it was three from Oswald. This documentary really shines a light that he probably didn't fire three shots. They probably only fired two. So they found three casings. And of course, like their theory was about the three shots. So they said one casing. Now, I'm not a ballistics expert, and that's kind of what this whole show is about, ballistics and like science, and like, it doesn't get into the weeds about conspiracies really at all. It's really about the science, because is this even possible?
It's like an episode of Forensic Files.
Yeah, exactly. So they found this original, this first casing way away from the other two, and they said that is typical. You have one empty shell, it locked and loaded, to prevent like grease buildup and water getting in there, and so your gun fires properly. And when you're ready to go, you just, you know, click it and it pops out, and then you have your two shots. So you have two casings together, one away, and they think that one never had a bullet in it to begin with. So another interesting point. So maybe there was only two shots fired from there.
Yeah, maybe only two shots because they found out that two of the bullets went straight through. Is that right?
Right.
And then another bullet is one of these like heavy hardcore guns, an automatic weapon,
right,
that it doesn't just go pierce straight through. It explodes when it hits contact.
So you had the Oswald bullets that are your typical rifle bullet, and that we can kind of get circled back to this magic bullet theory. So the Warren Commission, even back then, hey, fucking idiots, turn your brains on. So they like the whole reason they had to really push this bullet zigzagging through midair, so they just didn't have Connolly and Kennedy lined up correctly in the car. It is very possible to have one bullet go in a straight line, go through Kennedy's neck, and hit Connolly. Like, it's unlucky, and it's like, it seems implausible, but that has been like scientifically proven that you can have one trajectory from the book suppository, go all the way down and make all those wounds through the neck, into his ribs, into his wrist and leg. One shot. Like, it can be proven. Connolly doesn't believe it, but I believe that that was the one shot. And then I think Oswald missed with his other shot. And then so it's like, where did the kill shot come from? And if you watch all the other conspiracy theory shows, the Oliver Stone movie JFK from the early 90s, they always talk about the grassy knoll, because his head moves back and to the left. If you watch the Zapruder film frame by frame, like, it's like, well, then you would think that he got shot in the head from the front, not the back, and it blew his head backwards. But if you break it down frame by frame, he does go forward like a click, and then it's essentially he has a seizure and locks his head back. So that is like the other thing. But then you get into what you were saying, that they have these bullets that explode. They're like the hollow point bullets that people talk about. And that, Ed, who was carrying one of those?
George Hickey, a Secret Serviceman.
A Secret Service guy. So he was normally a driver for the Secret Service. So he was out of his normal role that day, and he was sitting in the back of the car directly behind the president. So he heard the first shot, and then he grabs his gun. He hears a second shot, and he's looking around, allegedly, and the car accelerates. So if you can imagine yourself, if you're ever like on the L train and it stops and starts and like you kind of lose your balance a little bit, sounds like that's what happened to George Hickey. He just happened to have a loaded AR-15 in his hand.
And that is the gun that could make the bullet explode.
That they had, that it was loaded with hollow point bullets. So he goes back, falls back into the chair, releases one round. All kinds of witnesses around the site saying that they were smelling gunpowder on the like ground level, which would be impossible if all three shots came from the book's repository. The way the wind was blowing, like the only way you could smell gunpowder around would be if there was a third shot coming from the scene of the crime, like on the
actual
ground.
And that's a fact.
Ground. That's witness statement. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, is that like, I don't know, like I feel smells are, smells go different ways,
yeah,
right?
But,
I don't know.
But they disappear like a fart in the wind. So if you have a 15 mile per hour wind, which they did that day, and you're so far away and 60 feet up in the air and the gunshot was coming from inside a room, like they're saying with Harvey Oswald, how would you smell it, you know, 300 yards away, 60 feet down? Like, it just doesn't seem like that makes a lot of sense.
All right, everybody, that's it for today. We're going to split this into two parts, so we will catch you tomorrow.